I was standing in the back with Jason a while ago, and I said, I love it when God's people worship. I love to worship, but I love to watch you worship too, because there's just something special happens when God's people gather together and they lift their hearts and they lift their voices to God. It's just so awesome. You know, Friday nights, I sneak in here sometimes and sit in the back, and it's just the presence of God is so rich in some of those services. And I'm amazed at how much God loves people with hurts and habits and hang-ups. And you think, well, you're talking about Celebrate Recovery. I'm talking about you, Turkey. I'm talking about you. Because we've all got hurts and habits and hang-ups. We've all dealt with loss. We've all failed. We've all messed up. As Joe read the scripture a while ago, all we like sheep have gone astray. Every one of us. There's not a one of us that really sought after God. We've gone astray. And he came after us. And that's the story of the gospel. He loves us, and he came after us. He is worthy of praise and honor and glory. I want to say, I don't like to say it, but we owe it to him. But he don't want it on that way. He wants it for us to freely give it to him, because we love him. We're going to continue our study on worship. Last week we talked about the three aspects of the church: to reach in, reach up, reach in, reach out. And the most important one of those, and the primary one — they're all three important — but the primary is the reach up. Because the scripture tells us that the greatest commandment is not to love people. We're supposed to love people, aren't we? But that's not the greatest commandment. It's not to love ourselves. It's to love God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. You know, that spirit, mind, emotions, body, it's all of us, our whole being. We're supposed to love God first. And then it says, your neighbor as yourself. So we're supposed to love ourselves, and we're supposed to love other people. So reach up. If we do that right, the rest of it will be worship to God. If things that we do out of duty are not worship to God. If we do them because we have to, God is not after have to. God is after want to. Now, if I don't want to, then I've got a heart problem, don't I? Okay? And we all have heart problems. We all have to deal with our hearts. We have to deal with our attitudes. And I have more trouble with me than I do you. That guy that I look in the mirror every morning, he gives me more trouble than any one person has ever given me. I have trouble with me. And I same thing with you. You are your biggest problem. It's not your spouse. It's not somebody else. You are your biggest problem. And you're the one that you have to deal with. So it's an ongoing process that we constantly deal with ourselves. So we found out that the word worship means to ascribe worth. Every man is a worshiper. Every woman is a worshiper. You may be atheist, but you're still a worshiper. Because anything that you ascribe worth to is considered worship, okay? And, you know, some people worship another person. They worship their children. They worship their spouse. Some people worship their job. Some people worship their car. We're coming to the season of worship. Pig, suey, razorback. I like football, don't you? I like the Razorbacks, don't you? I give it worth. And God doesn't mind us giving other things worth. He just don't want us to put something above him, to ascribe worth, something greater than we ascribe it unto him. Because when we worship something above God, that becomes an idol. in our life. That could be, like I said, it could be a person, it could be a job, it could be a physical possession, it could be sports, it could be yourself. You know, there's a lot of people who are lovers of self more than lovers of God. So that's worship, and it's ascribing worth to something. So worship is a choice to respond to God. It begins with a choice. Now, we want it to get into our hearts. That's the main thing, because Christianity, once you become a Christian, everything's about the heart. In fact, Proverbs tells us, above all that you guard, guard your heart, for out of it flow the forces of life. Whether life or death, whatever's in your heart, that determines your life. So our hearts are so important that we can't afford to have divided hearts. We're going to look at some early worshipers today. In fact, we're going to look at a couple things that I want to talk about. But we're going to talk about Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel. And I want to read out of Genesis chapter 4, beginning with verse 4. And here's how it begins. Now Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Isn't it amazing how fast the Bible moves in some places? She had a son, and then she had another son. Well, I don't think it happened yesterday and the next day. Probably at least 9 months. Probably more than that. Now, Abel was the keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. This is when they grew up. All of a sudden, we go from being babies to men. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. See, now what he's dealing with here with Cain is a heart issue. He's dealing with a heart issue here. Okay? We're going to come back to that. Now, Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against his brother and killed him. And the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother? He says, I don't know. Liar. Am I my brother's keeper? Am I responsible for my brother? And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. He knew he was caught then. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, what was he? He was a farmer. His choice changed his destiny. Okay? When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you've driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. And it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me. And the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone find him should kill him. Now, here we see them bringing an offering to the Lord. Now, do we bring blood sacrifices today? Why don't we bring blood sacrifices today? Because Jesus was our blood sacrifice. In fact, if we brought a blood sacrifice, it would dishonor Jesus, because we're saying that his sacrifice is not sufficient for us. So instead of bringing a blood sacrifice or something like that for a sin offering, we bring a gratitude sacrifice to the Lord. We bring praise and worship. Now, we give tithes and offerings, and those are offerings to the Lord. But our worship of Him is also an offering to the Lord. An offering to the Lord. So Cain and Abel were approaching the Lord in worship. They did it different than we do because Jesus had not yet come and died. So they brought something tangible to the Lord. And notice that it said that the Lord had respect to Abel and his sacrifice, but to Cain and his sacrifice, he did not have respect. Now, a lot of people have said, well, it's because Cain did not bring a blood sacrifice. You know, and that may be true, I don't know. But I think it goes deeper than that. Because this didn't say that it was a sin sacrifice. In fact, in the Old Testament, there were all kinds of offerings that they brought to the Lord. They had sheave offerings, they had wave offerings, they had grain offerings, they had blood offerings and different kinds of offerings. It just depended on what it was. But there were different kinds of offerings that were sacrificed brought to the Lord in the Old Testament. So this does not say that it was a sin offering. It could have been. If it was a sin offering, he probably brought the wrong thing. But the issue here is a little bit deeper than the offering itself. Because notice it said that God did not have, he didn't say he didn't have respect for his offering first. It said that he did not have respect for Cain and his offering. But it did say that he had respect for Abel and his offering. See, God didn't reject Cain because of his offering. He rejected the offering because of Cain. It goes back to the heart. See, there's times in the Old Testament that people would bring grain offerings to the Lord and he would accept them. There were times that the children of Israel would bring blood sacrifices and God wouldn't accept it. In fact, in Malachi, they were bringing the lame, the weak, the sick. And God said through the prophet, he says, give that to your governor and see how he would appreciate that. Yet you bring that to me? I'm your God. I'm your creator. I am your sustainer. And what do you bring me? You bring me the crippled and the weak and you bring me your worst. He didn't accept their sacrifice. Why? It's not that he delights in the blood of bulls and goats. In fact, he said, I don't have any delight in the blood of bulls and goats. What he wanted was their hearts to be right. Their hearts to be right. See, you can do the right thing for the wrong reason and it not be accepted. It not be pleasing to the Lord. You could probably do the wrong thing with the right heart and it would be accepted. There's some people who don't know how to worship God, but in their heart they worship God. Now there's reasons that people don't worship God. One of them is pride. I ain't doing that hand lifting thing. Well, you don't have any problem on Saturday. Ooh. What's up with that? Yeah, but that's different. No, it's not. No, it's not. Why is it different? Tell me. You ascribe more worth to that than you do the Lord? You know, David's wife criticized him for stripping down to his skivvies and dancing before the Lord. You remember that in the Old Testament? He stripped down to a linen ephod and danced before the Lord. The Bible says David danced before the Lord. He danced with all of his might. And his wife, looking out the window, she despised him and she criticized him. You know what he said? I'll become more undignified than that. David was a worshiper. He didn't let pride get in his way. He didn't let ego get in his way. You know, a lot of times we don't do something, especially us guys, because we got big egos. But we can call the hogs. But we can't praise the Lord. Do we have a heart problem? Is it possible that we might have a heart problem? I mean, the one who came and died for me, that I don't have to go to hell and I can be in heaven with eternal bliss, and I'm so prideful that I can't lift a hand and thank him, but I can call the hogs, that cursed animal. Ooh, pig, suey, razorback. Hey, I do it too. Okay. Moving right along. So what was Cain's problem? He had a heart problem. Not necessarily the content of his offering, but the content of his heart. See, God makes no distinction between the giver and the gift. He makes no distinction between the giver and the gift. Why did he reject his offering? Because Cain's heart was not right. Why did he accept Abel? Because his heart was right. In fact, in Hebrews 11, it tells us some things. Let me read this to you. Hebrews 11, 4. Abel made God's hall of fame of faith. It says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he being dead still speaks. Now, here's some things that we need to see. Why did God accept Abel's offering and not Cain's? We know it's a heart issue. Number one, Abel offered his by faith. It was a faith offering. Number two, it says that he brought the firstling of his flock. He gave to God first. That was primary. He didn't give God his leftovers. How many times have we said, well, you know, if I got time, I'll read my Bible today. If I've got time, I'll go to church. If I've got time, I'll witness. If I've got time, what does God want? He wants to be first. Now, it's not because God's got an ego. God has no big ego. In fact, you cannot add anything to God by anything you give him. He doesn't ask you to give because he lacks. God needs nothing. We can add no value to God whatsoever. But listen, when we put God first, he adds value to us. That's what he does. In fact, we are the beneficiaries of our worship. Because when we love God, he loves you. I read a verse last week. It just blew my mind. It says, God knows me, understands me deeply. He understands everything about me. He understands everything about you. He cares enough about us to understand us. And I don't know about you, but I'm not that great a guy. He still loves me. He knows my flaws. He knows my hypocrisies. He knows my weaknesses. He knows everything about me. He understands me deeply, and he still loves me. I can't fathom that. If you know, maybe if you knew me as deeply as God knows, you might not like me at all. I'm just as human as you are. God knows you deeply. He knows what makes you tick. He knows your thoughts afar. He knows your thoughts before you think them. Now that blows my gourd wide open. He understands us and he loves us. He wants us to turn our love to Him and put Him first in our lives so that He can enrich our lives to bring glory to Him so that we can be enriched more and bring glory to Him and it be an ongoing thing with Him and us. It's called a relationship. How many of you know a relationship is two ways? Let me look around a minute. I'm going to tell a story. Years ago, I did some marriage counseling, which is not my cup of tea. When I do marriage counseling, sometimes, you know, you sit there and you listen, you think, dear God, do you even know each other? Let me introduce you to. But anyway, to illustrate a relationship, this couple comes in for some counseling. They were having marital problems. The problem was that he was a cheater, openly a cheater. Now, he expected her to be faithful, but he was going to live any way that he wanted to, and he was going to sleep with who he wanted to, but he expected her to be faithful. Can I just ask you a question? Is that a relationship? How many of you gals are for that? Anybody? If you are, come up here and let's cast the devil out of you because that's something wrong with that. God's not into that. God's into two people being together and being faithful to each other. And the only time in my whole ministry of 30-something years, I told her to get a divorce. God hates divorce. I hate divorce. But I told her, I says, you're wasting your time living with this man. You can be free from that. You don't have to live that way. Why? There was no relationship. Why would God want to be in a relationship that was just one way with people who never returned love, that did not esteem him, that did not show him worth and honor? Why would God want to be? That's not a relationship. See, when you come forward and you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that's not an end, that's a beginning. It's the end of the old life, but listen, it's the beginning of a new life. It's a beginning of a relationship that should grow and flourish and get stronger. Now, some of you that's been saved a long time, let me just tell you, I'm there. I've been a Christian 40-something years. It's very easy to slack off in your relationship with God. It's very easy to coast. It's very easy not to pursue the way that we should. When I first got saved, I had a hunger for God and the Word of God and the people of God and the house of God. Shouldn't I still? Shouldn't marriages get better? So should our relationship with God. That's what God's after. He's after a relationship. Cain was giving lip service. Abel was giving heart service. He gave it by faith. Number two, he gave first to the Lord. He put him first. And number three, it says that he gave the first of his flock and the fat thereof. The fat represented the best. Not only did he give God the first, he gave him the best. Sometimes we just give God what we decide to give him, and it's not usually our best. But listen, he loves us, but he really wants our best. Not because he needs it, but we need to give our best to God because he will turn around and bless us and will cause us to become what we need to be for him in a relationship with him. Okay, I want to read another verse. We're going to talk about another worshiper. David. Now, David loved God. Can I ask you a question? Was David perfect? There's two stories that we all know about David. One was David and Goliath. Great story. I love it. That's one of my favorite stories in all the Bible. The second one is David and get your mind out of the gutter. David was a king that loved God, pursued God, but guess what? He got distracted. He saw a woman, decided he's going to have her. She was married. He got her pregnant. Tried to get out of being blamed by bringing her husband home so he would sleep with her. He didn't sleep with her. So he sent him back to the battle and had him killed in battle. And then married his widow that was pregnant with his child. And that's not a very good person, is it? So the prophet comes and confronts him. Now we're contrasting Cain and David. Both of them messed up. Seems like David messed up more than Cain. Cain was just giving lip service to God and his heart was far from him. David's heart was with the Lord, but he strayed and got in trouble. But when he was confronted by the prophet, you know what he did? He hit his knees and he repented. And he made the statement, against thee, God, against you and you only have I sinned. He realized that his transgression, even though it was against Bathsheba, she committed adultery too, against her husband Uriah. He lied. It cost him. It cost him the life of the child. It sowed discord in that family. And there were several of his kids who died. But he turned to God. See, God told Cain, he says, listen, if you do well, you will be accepted. But if not, sin lies at the gate and its desire is to have you. He did not listen. He allowed his bitterness, he allowed his hurt, he allowed his depression to get to him, and he murdered his brother. It changed his destiny. David did just as wrong, if not more wrong, but he turned to God with all of his heart. He openly repented, and God forgave him and restored him. Did it cost him? Yes, it cost him. See, a lot of times we think if we repent, it won't cost us anything. Well, God forgives us, but many times in the natural realm, there are consequences that we've sown that will cost us. That didn't mean that God hadn't forgiven us. I mean, if you murder somebody and repent, God will forgive you, but you may go to prison for the rest of your life. But anyway, the difference between the two is that he avoided the terrible, terrible consequences that could have happened to him by turning back to God. Now listen to his heart in Psalms 27, verse 4. Here's his heart. See, Cain was rejected. He murdered. He was a vagabond and a fugitive away from the presence of God. But listen what David said. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. David was a worshiper. When he did good, he turned toward God. When he did bad, guess what? When confronted, he turned toward God. Cain did not. He didn't have to kill his brother. God gave him grace. He says, listen, sin lies at the door. Its desire is to have you, but you have to master it. But he didn't. He didn't turn to God. He stayed in his anger. He stayed in his sin. David admitted, turned. God did a work. I say this all the time. I'm going to say it more and more. You may get tired of hearing it. But I'm still going to say it. See, it doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done. God loves you. And His desire is to change you. So we don't care where you've been and what you've done. We care about where you're going. You don't have to live the way that you've lived. You don't have to live enslaved to sin. We all have hurts and habits and hang-ups. When we talk about that, people think about celebrate recovery. Listen, every one of us have hurts and habits and hang-ups. We have had loss in our life. We have had sin in our life. We've done things to people, and we've had people do things to us. We've all got things that we have to deal with. It's not all addiction. Maybe to a substance, maybe it's to something else. But God loves us. Don't allow your past to define your future. Turn to God. Put Him where He needs to be in your life. First place, final authority, first love. He'll turn your situations around. In fact, He'll make the very thing that the enemy brought to kill you, He'll turn it around and make it work for you. He'll make it work for you. It does not have to control your life. Cain did not worship. He gave lip service, but his heart was far from it. David gave his heart in the good and the bad. And he was called a man after God's own heart. See, if you think you're going to live a perfect life, you're not. Now, you need to try to live a good life. I'm not saying, okay, just go out and sin. Go out and... I better not say that. No, don't do that. Grace is not a freedom to practice sin. Grace is the thing that sets us free from sin. It frees us for righteousness. Whatever you submit your life to is what will control your life. God wants us free to worship because God's got a purpose and a plan for our life. I want you to stand with me. I like that. You need to come home. Going to ask our prayer team to come. And I don't know where you're at spiritually. It's unimportant, other than if you're away from God, you don't have to be. You may be a person that's never made Jesus the Lord. You can take care of that today. You can see an old life come to an end, and you can see a new life begin, a new relationship begin today. Maybe you've played the game. Maybe you've been lip service and your heart has been so far from God. You can change that today too. We can come back to the heart of worship. We're going to sing that song here just in a second. I want you to just right there open your heart to God. If you've been afraid or too prideful to do something, expression, I'm not telling you have to. I'm just challenging you to. Begin that process. I was raised United Methodist, and Methodists don't raise their hands. And I got to hanging around some folks that raised their hands, and we'd sneak back to our church. Well, we wouldn't sneak. We'd go to our church, and we'd look around like this, and we'd do one of these numbers. Jesus, I love you, Jesus. I wasn't free enough to do this yet because I still had some pride, but I'd give him one of these half-mass worship. Look around, see if anybody's looking. Look the other way, and you, yes, Jesus. You know, you have to begin somewhere. Some of you have been around this all your life. You need to let God do something in your life today. I'm not dictating to you what you have to do. I'm just saying, isn't it time that we get our heart free enough that we can love God the way that He wants to be loved? So if you're here today and you need prayer either for salvation or restoration or whatever it is, do that. But the rest of us, I want to challenge you today to open your heart and truly worship God. Can we do that today? Father, we love You and we praise You in this place. We lift our hearts. We lift our hearts. God, look into our hearts today. Help us to come into a reality with You that pleases You. And it's not about us. It's about You. We need our lives to be about You. It's been about us long enough. Work in us as we worship You today in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship. Come if you need prayer.